Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.
Those stories and many more, and your answers to question of the week, coming up today. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, the edition for Sunday, 3rd of November, 2019. It's Martin Lee here, and I go through every EV story to save you time. Thank you, as always, to the gang at MyEV.com for helping make this show. MyEV.com, if you're in the USA, is how people buy and sell EVs these days. Check out myev.com and learn about EVs along the way as well. Whether you are a first-timer or a highly experienced EV owner and driver. Something for everyone. Right. Thank you to new Patreon supporters. Into a brand new month now. And thank you very much for everyone's continued support. Welcome to a new supporter, Mark Brossette. New producer, Chris Milak. M-E-I-L-A-K. Reckon I say that? Milak? Malak? Anyway, Chris, thank you very much for being a producer. And a new executive producer name to add to the list at the end of the show notes every single day. That's you, Bruce Bohanan. Or Bohanan. Thank you very much, Bruce. And Bruce has been busy on email as well. I've been enjoying the emails he's been sending me. And I love hearing from listeners of this show. Right, let's have a first look at October sales figures. The all-electric Audi e-tron. In the USA, noted 462 sales. It's a positive that the e-tron sales improved from the previous month in September, but they didn't increase by much. Well, hopefully the e-tron will move up in the following months, according to Inside EV's sales scorecard. Since April, Audi delivered 4,002 e-trons, which places it close to the top 10 of the most popular plug-in models year-to-date. And what about the Nissan Leaf, a car that once was incredibly popular in the USA? Sales of the Nissan Leaf, well, they continue, unfortunately, a downward trend, which is a disappointment because the Leaf, for many, many people, is a fabulous car. They really enjoy driving their Nissan Leaf. But according to Stephen Loveday, in October 2019, Nissan sold only 887 Leafs in the US across the entire month. That's down from the 1,234 this time last year, October 2018. It marks the first return to the sub-1,000 units sold per month since July, when 938 were sold. In terms of 2019 year-to-date figures, the Leaf now stands at 9,998. It's two cars away from five figures. Down, though, from almost 12,000 year-to-date at the same point year-on-year. And going last year. What is happening with the Nissan Leaf in the USA? Any thoughts, answers on the back of a postcard, please? Let's go to Norway then for the sales figures. And exactly 3,742 EVs were registered in Norway in October. Norway, a forward-thinking company in many ways, a leader and a forerunner in the world of EVs. It's because of the incentives that they have there for EV drivers, but also the stiff taxes which they apply to fossil-burning cars. And that is going to be our question of the week at the end of this show. We set up a brand new one. But for now, let's focus where we are. The market share of electric cars amongst car registrations, pure electric cars, was 35.7%. The most successful model of all drive types was the Audi e-tron Quattro. Yeah. According to Electrive, and you heard me correct, in October, it wasn't a Tesla, but it was the Audi e-tron Quattro, the most successful electric car. Let's dig deeper. Compared with September, 2,344 fewer electric cars were on the road. And why is that? The Model 3, of which only 121 units were registered in October. In September, it was 2,342. And for comparison, yes, 2,342 in September and now 121. So, what's going on here? Well, it's the Norway market. Norwegians still want Teslas, don't get me wrong. From what I can understand, they've just had to make some decisions based on stock. And so a lot of cars were sent to the country in September, and in October they were sent to other countries, other places. The ships were used for right-hand drive models. UK had another big month in October. So that's, from what I can understand, is what happened there. The Norwegians haven't suddenly fallen out of love with their Teslas. Well, in September, there were 2,342 new registrations. 73% of all newly registered passenger cars in Norway were equipped with some sort of battery. 73% of all newly registered cars had some sort of battery. That does include hybrids as well. The Model 3 still remains the country's top-selling car year-to-date. Audi did deliver a lot of their e-trons in October, though. 873 of them is the number that I hadn't got round to giving you. 873 e-trons in the tiny market of Norway, when you think about it. And what about the Volkswagen Golf? Surely no one's still buying the Golf when the ID3 is around the corner. Well, two thoughts there. Yes, 748 people bought a Golf last month in Norway. And no, the ID3 isn't just around the corner. Looking like summer 2020 for those deliveries. Want a pure electric VW now? You've only got one choice. Okay, let's go down a bit. And let's go south a little bit. And let's talk about Catalonia. The Catalonian government has introduced modifications to the tax on motor vehicles, and particularly the CO2 emissions. The tax on cars, vans and motorcycle emissions was approved by the Catalonian Parliament in August 2017 to combat their greenhouse effect on the atmosphere and their impact on global warming, reports the website gencat.cat. If you want a .cat email address and web address, I didn't realise that Catalonia had their own. Never thought about looking into that. So maybe you want a .cat address, now you know how to get one. Cars and vans will be charged from 2020. So from next year, cars and vans get charged for their CO2 emissions. Motorcycles from 2021. The estimated potential revenue, 150 million euros per year, when cars, commercial vehicles and motorcycles are subject to the charge. The tax will affect 4.1 million vehicles, 3.6 million cars and vans, and 500,000 motorcycles as well. Volkswagen, as in the brand, not the group, but the name Volkswagen, plans to deliver about 300,000 electrified models to Chinese customers next year in 2020. The figure is to reach 1 million by 2025. And by 2023, 10 battery electric vehicles based on the MEB platform will be in the Chinese market. An SUV from the ID family is set to be the first MEB platform model in China, production starting in 1 year. The ID3 is produced by SAIC Volkswagen, a joint venture, which means that before... So Tesla are allowed to own Tesla's Gigafactory 3 because they're the first outside company, Western company, that's allowed to do that under new Chinese rules. Until then, all car makers had to join a joint venture with a domestic Chinese automaker in order to bring knowledge into China. So if you wanted to sell cars to a massive market, the trade-off was forming a JV, which is how you get the company called SAIC Volkswagen, who will be making the ID3 in China. How about buying an e-bike that is called the Beast? The Beast 2.0, to be specific. You know, it's going to be a heck of a bike. There are pedals. Some like to call them vestigial pedals or vestigial pedals. How you say that word? They're fully functional, but they won't really get any use. They are mounted way too far to the rear. They have the tiniest of crank arms. No one's ever going to use them, but they are officially pedals, and they will technically move the bike forward. They don't really work. But what it means is it can classify this as a bicycle for legal reasons, says Micah at Electric. The tyres are wide and chunky and knobbly. The Beast comes with three battery options, the biggest one being a 2.4 kilowatt hour lithium-ion battery, even a 1.5 kilowatt hour lithium LTO battery. That's a high-tech and a very high-priced battery, but it means that you can do up to 20,000 charge cycles with LTO batteries. Top speed, 25 miles an hour, is not the fastest e-bike out there, but it's really made for off-roading. And my goodness me, these massive, fat boy, you know, even bigger than that, fat, chunky tyres, the relaxed riding frame as well. Not the cheapest of e-bikes, but when they call it the beast, it really is a monster of an e-bike. Right, next, let's talk Tesla Model S, because unlike Jeremy Clarkson, James May has a fondness for EVs, and one of his previous everyday cars was a BMW i3. That replaced his aging Fiat Panda, and it's time for James May to upgrade to a purely electric car this time round, and he's made a video with the Drive Tribe team. The i3 is still in his garage, James May's garage. James May, we should put in parentheses, the multimillionaire TV presenter. His garage looks nothing like your garage and my garage. Now, don't get me wrong. If you've seen Jay Leno's garage, the YouTube channel, that's a warehouse, right? That's a hangar. It's not quite the same for James May, but it's every big boy's and big girl's garage wet dream. It looks lovely. And inside it is a brand new car. Not quite brand new, actually. He's had it a while, but he was only ready to tell the world right now. The video description says, the time has come for James May to add a car to the garage, and this one's going to be a big move into the future for him. He's been keeping it a secret, but today is the day that the covers come off, and you see what he has opted for. It is indeed a Tesla Model S from one of the shots I glimpsed. I think it says P100. Sorry, I think it says 100D on the boot. So it's not new, because they were still badging it. It's on a 19 plate, so it was bought sometime after January this year, but it still says 100D on it. But I had a quick look online, and the equivalent, if you go for the Model S long range these days, like I say, they don't badge it 100 anymore, but the colour he went for was the deep metallic blue. The wheels look like 19-inch Sonic Carbon slipstreams. Looks like he's gone for the carbon fibre decor. That is currently running at £87,000. James May spent a similar amount, I imagine, on his car, and he absolutely loves it. Although in the video, I'll pop a link in the show notes, he was so apologetic to the fossil-gobbling Neanderthals that he must think are in his audience for whatever he's known for, Top Gear, Grand Tour, Drive Tribe, because he was so apologetic. He was like, look, electric cars mean that for every one of these, then we can still have a fossil car on the road. And I guess he knows his audience better than I do and didn't want to upset those that didn't like the idea of their favourite TV presenter driving an EV. Let's get on to question of the week this week. I was asking you, well, actually I wasn't, one of your fellow listeners, Martin, was asking EV drivers, what surprised them the most about an EV when they first got one. David Finch says, I never expected to become an EV evangelist. I've been driving an EV since 2015, and friends, family and colleagues are always asking questions. My brother, my dad and my boss have all made the switch, and many more people I know are considering it. They all have questions and all want to chat. John Nodell says, my biggest surprise of owning an EV is that it came very natural and felt more normal than a combustion car. All the worry of getting used to it faded away almost instantaneously as my EVs talk. One thing that made the transition so much more seamless is having a strong car company and dealership support, just like with you and the Zoe, he says, having a great dealership experience. And yes, John, you're absolutely right. It's why I drove a couple of hundred miles to go to a car dealer to find someone that I wanted to have a fabulous experience with. Here in the UK, Will Adams will look after you at DSG in Morecambe. And no, he didn't pay me to say that. I did drive a very, very long way past many, many Renault dealerships just because I personally knew that lots of people that I know had bought a car from Will, and that in the past I'd had bad experiences with dealers, not Renault dealers, but I thought, you know what, this is going to be a big purchase for us, second biggest purchase we make behind the house, and so I want to make sure that I have a great time. And I did. I spent a long time there, probably more time than many people would have been kind of comfortable hanging around a dealership. But I looked at the cars, I looked at his lot round his car park round the back where the stock had just literally just arrived. He had a new batch of Renault Zoes that then they go inside and they obviously get detailed and cleaned up and then off to their new customers, and they've got a big EV team there that look after that they are qualified to work on electric cars. They had a battery on the bench as well. I couldn't go near it. Obviously, it was all safety and security around it. But I could get close enough that I was allowed to look at the Zoe battery in detail. So that's John says, yes, very important to have that. Tesla, Rivian, Polestar's business models are just as needed as real non-compliance EVs. The car companies and dealerships that are open to transform their business model along with EVs have a high chance of survival. Richard Chapman says, my biggest surprises after buying an EV that I didn't expect were the realisation of how I subconsciously hated petrol stations, and two, becoming super sensitive to the smell of fossil fuel exhausts, especially diesel. I'm with you on that, Richard Chapman. I'm with you. I work, when I am in London, I don't even work in Soho anymore. The days that I do spend in London, I'm out just inside the M25, and still, when the London red buses go past and the London black cabs, the one that aren't electric yet, I can taste diesel now like I never could before. Hi to Chris from Ann Arbor, Michigan. The biggest surprise I got when I switched to a full EV was I became more sensitized to how dirty and smelly average cars are. Jerry Levy says, I can sleep in my Tesla with climate control. I miss the smell of gasoline. He likes that. And if you drive uphill and then downhill, you've used almost no electricity, thanks to regen. Malcolm Connor, I think it has to be the lack of servicing required, and over the longer term, the reliability. My 5-year-old, 50,000-mile Leaf has only required a number plate bulb. I hope my new Model 3 is the same. Selling the Golf, now all electric after 3 years of planning and saving. Duncan says, what surprised me when I first started driving EV was the corruption that surrounded charge points. Early charge point companies got paid to put charge points in, had no interest in them working. Their business model relied on them not being connected to electricity. Really? I've never, ever heard that. So I'm going to immediately go and look into the early days of charge points. Really? I've got to do some research. John Frewarth is our final one. My biggest surprise owning an EV are a couple of persistent feelings it leaves me with. Serenity and bliss. Serenity comes from my lowered stress level while driving an EV. The bliss comes from the excellent ride and tech my EV gives me. Thank you so much to everyone, and more than those who sent me their answers to Question of the Week. And let's set a brand new one. Looking back at some of the stories I reported on today, I was thinking about why some markets are moving forward with EVs quicker than others. So here's a question. It's a take on one that we asked about a year ago, but it's a twist. What do you prefer, the carrot or the stick? You know how that saying goes. Do you prefer the carrot, i.e. would you prefer incentives to drive EVs, or would you prefer the stick? Would you prefer that polluters are penalised? And no, you can't pick both. You can't have your carrot cake and eat it. So, what do you prefer? The carrot or the stick? What's more effective? I'll be honest here. I know that the politically correct answer to say is the carrot, that incentives, and that, you know, we should bring our children up by praising the good things they do and not mentioning the bad things and only reinforcing positive behaviours. I get all that. I get the psychology of positive reinforcement. But I got to be honest, the stick really hurts. And with a petrol or diesel car, if you can't go certain places because you're going to get a 10 or a 20 pound fine for driving into that town or city centre, personally, for me, the way my brain works, I just want to avoid that pain. But everyone's different, and let me know your thoughts. What do you think works better? And no, you can't pick both. Carrot or stick? Email me, hello@evnewsdaily.com. Leave a comment on Facebook and YouTube. Thank you to 255 patrons of the podcast who keep me going. My premium partners, Phil Roberts of Electric Future, Brad Crosby, and Avid Technology. If you'd like to get any of the previous episodes, they're all in the archive for free, 629 of them. And the new shows come at you first and free and automatically if you are a podcast subscriber. And look, we all love free stuff. If you'd like to say hi on the socials, search EV News Daily. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you soon. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.
into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.